Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and that is page 61 in the Old Testament of your Pew Bible. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. And take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John. It is the fourth chapter, verses 5 through 42. Let us listen for the word of God with hearts wide open. He, being Jesus, he stopped at Sychar, a town in Samaria, near the tract of land Jacob had given to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus was weary from the journey, came and sat by the well. It was around noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The disciples had gone off to the town to buy provisions. The Samaritan woman replied, "You are a Jew. How can you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" Since Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If only you recognized God's gift and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink instead, and he would have given you living water." "If you please," she challenged Jesus, "if you don't have a bucket and this well is deep, where do you expect to get this living water? Surely you don't pretend to be greater than our ancestors, Leah and Rachel and Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it with their descendants and flocks." And Jesus replied, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink in the water I give them will never be thirsty. No, the water I give will become fountains within them, springing up to provide eternal life." The woman said to Jesus, "Give me this water so that I won't grow thirsty and have to keep coming all the way here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and then come back here." "I don't have a husband," replied the woman. "You're right, you don't have a husband," Jesus exclaimed. "The fact is, you've had five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. So what you've said is quite true." "I can see that you're a prophet," answered the woman. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain." "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people claim that Jerusalem is the place where God ought to be worshipped." And Jesus told her, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship Abba God neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you don't understand. We worship what we do understand. After all, salvation is from the Jewish people. Yet the hour is coming and is already here when real worshipers will worship Abba God in spirit and truth. Indeed, it is such worshipers whom Abba God seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I know that the Messiah, the Anointed One, is coming and will tell us everything." And Jesus replied, I will speak to you that I am the Messiah. The disciples returning at this point were shocked to find Jesus having a private conversation with a woman, but no one dared to ask, "What do you want of him?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left the water jar and went on into town, and she said to the people, Come and see someone who told me everything I have ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" And at that, everyone set out from town to meet Jesus. And meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus told them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." At this, the disciples said to one another, "Do you think someone has brought him something to eat?" And Jesus explained to them, "Doing the will of the one who sent me and is bringing this work as completion is my food. Don't you have a saying, 4 months more and it will be harvest time? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe and ready for harvest. Reapers are already collecting their wages and the gathering fruit for eternal life, and the sower and the reaper will rejoice together. So the saying is true. One person sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you've come upon the fruits of their labor." Many Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus on the strength of the woman's testimony that he told me everything I ever did. The result was that when these Samaritans came to Jesus, they begged him to stay with him a while. So Jesus stayed for 2 days. And through his own spoken word, many more came to the faith. They told the woman, "No longer does your faith depend on your story. We've heard for ourselves, and we know that this really is the Savior of the world." May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So this morning we are continuing our wilderness trek to the cross. We have been here for 2 weeks, and we know that this wilderness is not the romantic wilderness of postcards or hiking trails, but the wilderness that feels like too much sun and not enough shade. The wilderness of unanswered questions, the wilderness of exhaustion, of loneliness. Scripture knows this wilderness as well. The Israels wandered in it. We heard that this morning and how they grumped and grumbled and whined until they could get some water. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. And if we're honest, we are in that wilderness as well. We've been talking for the last 2 weeks. Some of us are in the wilderness of grief. Some of us are in the wilderness of uncertainty. Some of us are in the wilderness of doing everything that we can possibly do and still not feeling like enough. Lent does not ask us to pretend otherwise. We know this journey invites us to name our own wilderness. And into that wilderness, today's gospel reading from John brings us to a well. Not a sanctuary, not a mountaintop, not a place of triumph, a well. Ordinary, dusty, public, overused, necessary place of water. A communal place where people come not only to bring common water to the house for daily living chores, but because they're thirsty. And there, in the heat of the day, Jesus meets a woman who knows wilderness better than most. We often hear this story through the lens of her five husbands. Some preachers like to make this a tale of morality, as if her marital history is the most interesting thing about her. I beg to differ. The text never calls her sinful. It never calls her immoral. It never says that she is shameful. She is just a woman coming to do her job that day of gathering water. And yes, she has had five husbands. What the story does tell us is this, that she comes to the well at noon, not the usual time for procuring water. Women came to the well first thing in the morning because the entire household depends upon that water to start the day, to make the tea, to fix the food, to take care of the animals and the garden. If you don't start your day with water, you can't start your day. Carrying her jar on the hottest part of the day is what the story tells us. The part of the day when everyone else is somewhere else, when the woman doing morning chores are gone. That is wilderness. Maybe she comes at noon because something is happening at her home first thing in the morning. She has to thaw out meat for supper. She has to get the kids to daycare. She has to figure out where the book bags are. She's got something else going on. Maybe she comes at noon because she's tired of all the whispers of the people around her. Maybe she comes because she's tired of being defined by what others think they know. Maybe she comes because she's learned that sometimes it's easier to be alone than to be judged or worse yet, pitied. Whatever the reason, and whatever the reason, she comes thirsty, not just for water, but for dignity, for truth, for someone who will see her without reducing her. And Jesus meets her there, not in the synagogue, not in the safety of the night like Nicodemus does in last week's story, not that we talked about Nicodemus, but he comes in the blazing sun to the well in Samaria, which is not a place that welcomes Jewish people. Jesus is thirsty as well. He is tired as well. He is there to rest while the disciples go off to the 7-Eleven to find out if there's any pizza left for lunch. Right? He is there and he's vulnerable. This is not a story about a powerful man trying to fix a broken woman. This is a story of two people meeting in their shared humanity. And here is where the heart of the gospel shines through. If we are able to embrace the notion that we have more in common than what separates us, then as we talk with our neighbors, we are called to find common ground. Jesus and the Samaritan woman begin there, at the well, with communal water, common water, not in agreement, not in a shared background, not in identical theology, but in the simple truth that both of them are in need of water, both of them are tired, and both of them are very human. The shared humanity becomes the doorway to revelation. The well becomes a place where differences do not disappear, but where difference no longer divides. We don't have to make our differences disappear, we just have to make them stop dividing us. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Living water is not magic. It's not an escape. It's not a spiritual bypass that lets us avoid the hard things. Living water is the courage to face the truth. Living water is the dignity of being seen. Living water is the possibility of a new story. The woman does not shrink back from Jesus' honesty. She doesn't hide. She doesn't pretend to be someone or something that she is not. She stands in her truth, whatever that truth is. And Jesus meets her there with respect, not judgment. And suddenly, the wilderness becomes a place of revelation. This is what the wilderness of Lent is all about. Not to shame us, but to free us. Not to burden us, but to unburden us. Not to make us feel unworthy, but to remind us that God meets us exactly where and when we are.
God meets us where we are, and life goes on, in all of our struggles. The conversation between Jesus and the woman is not an easy conversation. It crosses all kinds of boundaries. First one being gender. A man and a woman, if they were not related, would not be speaking to each other out in public without the woman being chaperoned or the man being part of her immediate family. Doesn't happen. And here it is. But across the boundaries of religion, she is Samaritan, he is Jewish. She is considered a Gentile, one on the outside, not like us. But with that separation of Jewish and Samaritan or Jewish and Gentile, that's across ethnicities, race, cultures, history, and these people don't like each other as a whole. It's got northern and southern Israel. It's the break of the divide, and Judah does not like the other side, whatever that is, right? However we break apart the other. But here, Jesus and the woman, they stay at it. They stay curious. They stay human with each other. They find common ground in their shared need for water, common water. And from that common ground, something holy emerges. And that is today's invitation for us. In a world that profits from our division, Jesus shows us a different way. That we need to start with what we share. Start with what is human. Start with what is true. The woman leaves her jar behind. The story tells us that she puts her jar down and she goes back to the community. That jar, that very thing that she came for, the symbol of her daily burden, she sets down. Because when you taste living water, you realize you don't have to carry everything that you've been carrying. I think one of the overlooked parts of this scripture, because we get so hung up on the morality of this scripture, is that this unnamed woman becomes the first person in John's gospel to share the news of Jesus. She is the first one to share the news. She goes running back to her community and tells about Jesus and about God's love to them. It's not Peter, James, or John. It's not the favorite. It's not the beloved. It's not even Bartholomew and Thaddeus that we never ever hear about. It is an unnamed woman. She runs back to her community, something she does not have to do. The same community that has been judging her. And she says, come and see. Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Come and see. Those words that we heard during Christmas. Those words that the little say, come and see. Bravely, confidently, loudly, she says, come and see the man who has seen me just as I am. She does not say that this man condemned me, this man who made me feel small, this man who fixed me. She says, come and see someone who sees me. And when people are truly seen, they become the evangelists. Evangelists with a little e, the sharers and tellers of grace. And when communities dare to believe that when we have more in common than what separates us, conversations change. Walls soften and break down. Curiosity replaces suspicion. Neighbors become partners. The Samaritan woman returns not with a theological argument, but with an invitation grounded in a shared experience. Come and see. She doesn't demand agreement. She doesn't insist on sameness. She simply opens the door to connection. This is what happens when we seek common ground. God creates new possibilities where once we only saw barriers. The wilderness becomes a well. The outsider becomes the witness. The thirsty becomes the source of refreshment for others. This is what God does. This is what Lent prepares us for. This is what resurrection looks like long before we get to Easter morning. We are living in a wilderness season, not just liturgically, It's not just because we've got purple pyramids up. But culturally, emotionally, spiritually, we live in a wilderness and it surrounds us. We are thirsty for truth in a world full of noise. We are thirsty for connection in a world full of isolation. We are thirsty for hope in a world that feels very parched.
And remember that when the world that profits on our division. But the good news is this. Jesus meets us at the well. Jesus meets us in the place of that common water. And he meets us there not when we have it all together. Not when we have solved all of our problems, not when we have earned our own way out of the wilderness. Jesus meets us in the heat of the day when we are tired, when we are thirsty, when we are carrying more than we can ever possibly hold on to. Somehow we find a way to juggle it all around. And Jesus offers living water, water of honesty, water of dignity, water of courage and new beginnings. Jesus teaches us that the well is not only a place of personal renewal, it is a place of relationship, a place where strangers become conversation partners, a place where differences become dialogue rather than division. If we are able to embrace the notion that we have more in common than what separates us, that when we talk to our neighbors, we are called to find that common ground. Not because common ground erases differences, but because it honors the image of God that each and every one of us carries. We all have a divine spark of the Creator within us. And when we can start erasing our differences, we can see that in each other. When all of this happens, there are possibilities of healing that happen because the soil where the living water springs up is fertile ground. It's nourishing place. So as we continue to journey through Lent, may we become people of the well, people who need common water, people who listen deeply, people who seek connection, people who trust that God is already at work in the spaces and places where our lives meet each other. May we offer living water to the divine spark in the person in front of us, today and every day. Amen.